This is the town hall meeting, which is more of an open forum than not. And in fact, to be honest with you, it's more just a structured chance to give folks an opportunity to call things out. Tell us what you think. We'd love to hear what's going on. I don't know how much you know about Sunstone and its operations, but we give a little bit of background on that without telling you what our individual staff members make personally. We're open with the financial scorecard, what we do, where comes from donations, essentially, and we use it to fund the operations. So, are you subscribers?
Yeah, long time.
Long time? Okay. Yeah. Stephen here is the editor of the magazine. Mm-hmm. Mary Ellen is the director of the symposium.
Yep.
And outreach. So you all know both of them, right?
We do now.
Yes, right.
We are solvent. We're always struggling to figure out how to be relevant and vibrant. So I was going to ask Stephen and Mary Ellen to just give us a 3.5-minute Sunday school talk on what they've done this past year and where they see taking us, and then we'll take Q&A along the lines of things that you would like us to do more of or start doing that we're not. Things that you might like us to do less of or stop doing that we are, or any other questions you have in mind. Dan Witherspoon also, I'm guessing the three of you already know, was our previous editor before Stephen for 8 years almost, and is currently a member on our board of directors. So who wants to go first?
Let's go by handsomeness. Go for it.
Oh, man.
And on that note, Laura walked in.
Another board member.
All right. So the thing that I worked on was getting the app going. Have you guys seen the app on the iPad and the iPhone?
Do you have an Android version?
You know what? We're working on it.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I saw that. That was...
They told me it would be ready. So yeah, we've got the app. I wish I had my iPad here. But what I'm trying to do is kind of bring Sunstone of the 21st century. It's kind of. Do you have your?
I've got my iPad.
Okay, yeah, you can join that. But the basic thing I'm trying to do is kind of help integrate. I'm going to start here. Long form writing, thought, and research is tremendously important to Mormon discourse, especially independent Mormon discourse. Right now we have a huge explosion in discourse on the blogs and on the podcasts. And the blogs and the podcasts wouldn't be able to have a credible base without the tremendous research and the tremendous time that goes into making solid articles, essays, history, etc. But, okay, so that is what I want Sunstone to be a part of, is the long form, deeply researched and edited stuff. The problem is it's hard to keep subscribers coming in because they all go to the blogs, which do a great job of having discussions around the long-form, well-researched history and articles and such. The problem is everybody goes to those and
rather than the source.
Instead of the source. So what I'm trying to figure out is how to get Sunstone more to percolate into the blogosphere and into podcasts and such like that. So that people will be able to have access not only to the opinions of 10 million people, but also to well-researched, well-edited stuff. So one of my first things that I've done is I've put together the app, which is this. Let's see. Oh, good, you actually bought some.
Hello.
it's so affordable.
It really
it is. Tell them what it costs.
It's 99 cents for the app, and it's $2 for a back issue. Yeah. It's $10 for six issues.
As opposed to the paper subscription, which is
$37 for a six issue.
And you're saving trees. And it gets pushed to you electronically.
And isn't it beautiful with all that backlight? And it's in full color. It's just gorgeous. And it has embedded video and audio. I'm going to go to the end so that we can look at the embedded video and audio downloading page. Oh, there we go. Not that. These are the news. So, for example...
It's in color.
It is. It's entirely in color. So, for example, we did Hugo Leyes, our wonderful news writer, wrote an interesting piece on John McNaughton, who does those hyper-political paintings. And
session on him next hour.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
right now.
We're all going to be
speaking
there.
Of.
Yeah, it's right now.
Oh, right now. Sorry, guys. So, in the magazine, I can put in the little figures, but in the app, if you click on one of the figures, come on, man. Oh, I was stepping on the wrong thing. So, but if you click on the figures, you can go straight to the source. This is connected. Yeah. And so now,
that's the artist's website.
Yeah, this is the artist's website. And then you could also go to the parody. So now Sunstone is a linked up interactive experience. I have embedded video, I have embedded audio, I have links. So when you go to the references for the articles, a great majority of them are linked to the source. So no longer do you need to, go to the library and find the stuff. You can just tap on the reference, and off you go to the source. So it's made the Sunstone experience really great, and I'm really pleased with this. And yes, it will be on Android soon, so they tell me. So that's one of the things I do, and I have some other ideas.
We've got 300,000 subscribers online so far, is that?
Online? I would say we have 300 subscribers.
Oh,
but it's
300.
But it's only been going for 2 months. So
yeah, we haven't even advertised it really hard.
Yeah, and we haven't done a lot of advertising yet. But there is going to be some changes.
Kindle?
Yeah, actually, Kindle is next. Kindle isn't going to be as wonderful as this, because Kindle, you just read the words.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kindle is absolutely coming up next. Anything else?
Thank you.
And all that, you can expand the size and everything. Like
oh, yeah.
That.
For
showing that, but yeah.
Yeah, because there are always been some people who say, the type's too small, then you can make the type
right.
Big.
Standard Mac system.
That's called GA size.
Mm-hmm. So are you still able to deliver as many issues per year, or is this slowing you down? By having
this takes almost no
okay. So
no
time. You're designing the magazine in color now for that, and then you just print black and white.
Yeah. It's great. And it costs so little. It costs 1/4 of printing one issue to maintain this online for as many subscribers.
But are you in the situation that magazines and newspapers are, which is they do all this stuff, but their readers, their subscribers still drop down, and they're all in economic trouble?
Yeah, there's that too, and that's one of the reasons why I made the app so inexpensive, is that I'm hoping that people will be able to continue to read despite the times.
And are back issues the same price as the current subscription ones, $2
each? Yeah, back issues are $2. And in fact, if you get a subscription, it's even less than $2 for an issue. It's insanely inexpensive.
So what are you doing for links and stuff on back issues? Are you trying to make all the live audio and video too, or are you just more of a...
That's harder because a lot of those were created before there was a lot of online content to link them to, but I do my best.
Okay, so you're still trying.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Have you linked any of those things up to, or have you had blogs? I know that the blogs probably can't link there, but can you, when you're having, when a discussion comes up, like on the Blogger Mackle or something, can you link to a past discussion?
From
using like the app situation.
Yeah. There was.
So thinking that they're going to get a ping back that's going to say.
I don't know what it would look like.
And if it would drive some, hey, what is this?
It would be cool if that worked, but we did a section on American Grace that we referred to BCC, to Chana Reese's blog and stuff like that, and so I did link those up, but I don't know what a pingback looks like on that. I've never thought of that. I should look.
Well, if it raises a curiosity enough to say, hey, what's this, and then drives them over to say, oh, this is really cool, I want one.
I'm up for that.
And you've also, he's also got embedded links to YouTube video clips.
Absolutely. Yeah, because we used to say, oh, this great Mormon phenomenon, and we could describe it and have a picture of it, but now you can go straight to the Mormon phenomenon and see it in full color.
So when you have your letter together, you're complaining about all the issues about modesty and your friend.
No, those websites have been blackballed by the.
Yes, I could definitely link up to the actual articles because it could be good.
Cool, man.
Keeps adults amused in church for hours.
Yeah.
So in answer to your question, you know, yes, we have fallen prey to the same global trend of diminished subscriptions for print. Although the good news is that we're not falling as fast. We haven't been. Primarily because most of our subscriber base is print-based in their approach to consuming media anyway, right? So, you know, we were losing the subscriptions. We weren't picking them up. At about the same rate as the obituaries in the Salt Lake Tribune. And so what Stephen's doing now with this is, you know, compared to where we were last year, we're several thousand percent over our electronic subscriptions, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I think it's going to find its legs.
Yeah, and actually, we're soon going to have online electronic subscriptions as well.
My turn?
Sure.
All right. Well, what do I say about the symposium? You're all here, right? So this is what's been consuming me and during working hours and then some for the past 6 months at least. We've had this symposium on the calendar. We met at Sunstone West in the Bay Area back in March of this year, and we partnered up a few years back with Community of Christ Seminary and John Whitmer Historical Association to do what we call Sunstone Midwest and what they call Restoration Studies Symposium, which allows BYU and church history department employees to come and present. But it's really a Sunstone. So we've had some great events this past year. We have one more symposium coming up that as soon as I recover from this one, we'll start planning the symposium in the Pacific Northwest. And we're experimenting a little bit with the formats in the Northwest. Last year we did a full day of Saturday sessions, a party at somebody's house afterward, and then on Sunday we had two speakers who were able to do double duty, and so we all drove to Portland and had a fireside event Sunday night at a Sunstone supporter's home. And that worked really well. The Portland crowd is lobbying hard to have the full day there as opposed to, you know, a Sunday evening event. So we're playing with the format a little bit for some of the regional symposiums. Sunstone West is probably our largest regional with 2 to 3 concurrent sessions per hour. We've had some fun sessions, some good turnout. This August symposium, we had a few bumps on the way to get here, the most notable one being a change of venue that wasn't our idea. Our longtime venue canceled on us and are still being persnickety about the damages that they owe for doing that. And so we had to find a new place to have the biggest event of the year, the biggest symposium of the year. And so since my husband is well-connected, not only to the board, but to Weber State, he brought me here, introduced me to their event staff, and they walked us through the building, and I went, ooh, ah, this is natural light at an event venue. This is great. And then they told us about the meals they could do on site, that they could provide on-site childcare for 4 hours a day, and I'm like, you had me at
free technology support.
Yeah, free tech
free
support,
Wi-Fi for
free
everybody.
Wi-Fi. Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, the amenities were staggering, and you know, we got it at a great nonprofit organization rate. So, one of the things that we're doing is we wanted to get a sense of what people felt about the venue change. So there are pink survey forms down on the registration desk. So if you feel strongly about where the venue might be for upcoming Utah symposiums, let us know what you thought of this one, whether you'd be willing to alternate. We've already got the University of Utah booked for next summer, July 25th through the 28th, so a touch earlier, but we don't run into outdoor retailer traffic, you know, hogging all the hotel rooms and driving up prices and things like that. So I think it will be a good move, and although the venue change was, you know, it took me a couple days to really get out of the mental fetal position that put me in when I got the call, hi, we're canceling you. And so, you know, once we had a new venue lined up, when we realized that we were getting a lot at the new venue, I felt a whole lot better about the whole process. And I think, I think the Sheraton had become a habit, and not always a habit that served us and our needs well. And so it did push me out of the habit of doing it at the same place. There's some things that are easier about that, but I think the value that we got here, and just, you know, kind of mentally opening the doors and saying, well, what else is possible? Where else could we have a symposium? What other venues are workable for an event this size? And so, you know, it's got me looking farther than the end of, you know, Fifth South in downtown Salt Lake. We also have, as part of the outreach arm of what I do, we have a student group at the University of Utah, and we put together a couple of lecture events there. We had one in April on Mormons and immigration, which we are repeating here later this afternoon in the last panel session, having Mormons talk about how their faith informs their views and their political actions on the issue of immigration, since that's been a hot one in Utah this year and really in the Intermountain West, you know, for a lot of people. So we're inviting conversation to happen there and looking forward to that. In the fall, when things are a little bit slower at the office, not as heavy into the symposium planning, we've had a number of Sunday evening lecture events at the Sunstone office. It gives people a chance to see where the office is, what we do, all of the back issues, you know, ringing around the corners of the room by the ceiling, and gives people a sense of the history that this organization has. And so it's given us a chance to do more things like the symposium, to bring in speakers. You know, we usually have a pretty good pool of speakers to draw from for these events. If people want to repeat something they did at Sunstone that not everybody got to hear, then we can do something like that. Or when Jan Shipps was in town last fall on a research trip, I said, hey, let me reserve a room at the Salt Lake Public Library and let's have a lecture. And so we did that. And so we're trying to branch out and do more of what we do best in the symposium area, and having these lectures and discussions, have those more often. And in order to facilitate that, we've been using Facebook and social media quite a bit. There are a number of pictures of Balloon Moroni on Facebook, on Sunstone's page and other people's pages. And I think Balloon Moroni has been seen around the world, because we had the World Archery Federation's World Cup of Archery meeting here at Weber State for
this past week. Is ESPN covering it?
I have to say, the
women's team on Saturday, we were walking to the dorm, they set a world record.
Oh, wow.
The U.S. women's
on
team?
On Saturday, the U.S. women's team set a world record. I don't know what it was. All I heard was the announcement.
The U.S. women's team has set a world record here today.
And the captain went up and said, I want to thank the Jack Marlott Blues for inspiring us today.
But we've had some worldwide exposure by sharing the space here and having all this the young archers and their coaches take pictures of the balloon around. What do these furious Utah people do with their balloons? But yeah, that was a really fun symposium extra.
Who did that, and how long did it take him to pull
it took out? It took him a good chunk of Wednesday. Stephen hooked us up with a balloon artist, a balloon sculptor that he knows. And he was working in the book room before the vendors set up, and it took him, I think, until, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. Started at 8 a.m., and built Moroni in two pieces, and at one point, you know, the trumpet was kind of droopy, so he cantilevered it back up, you know, at a good angle, and you know.
And then he also built a beehive.
He built a beehive that's
in the book room,
and some headdresses that you can put on for photo ops and looking silly. I think Balloon Moroni is probably the best money we've ever spent on a symposium extra. It was just fun. You know, it was material culture. It was in line with the theme, and it just charmed me to think about we were going to have a balloon sculpture of Moroni, and then having the reality take shape was fascinating. So, what's ahead for symposium and outreach stuff is, again, you know, figuring out what we want to do in the future for our Utah symposium venues, and see if people are willing to alternate between Salt Lake and Ogden, kind of branch out as far as the venues go. And we're hoping to get back to Washington, D.C. for another regional symposium there. We did one in 2009 after a 5-year hiatus, and they were very happy to have us back. And we would have made it back this year had the Sheraton not done what they did 3 weeks before the D.C. call for papers deadline. So it's like, okay, new venue for Salt Lake, D.C. I kind of have to go with Salt Lake. So...
What did it do to attendance in this?
Pre-registration was slow and lower by probably about 60, 70 people. So
about 20%.
Yeah, so we hit our numbers. You know, we'll be able to pay all the symposium bills for the things that we added, like shuttle bus service around downtown and one of the hotels that we had blocks of rooms booked for attendees. So we'll be able to cover that going in, and we had probably more response the last week of pre-registration than any other time, and I think we had something like 24 come in. We were at the office last Sunday toiling on the final program and just left the link working because we thought, oh, we're here, we can process anything that comes in, and we picked up probably 24 just by doing that. So we got a lot of first-time people, and we offered them a discount, and we lowered the symposium prices across the board for everything. It wasn't going to cost us as much as it does to do in a hotel, so we figured, yeah, we'll pass it on to folks. And we had a donor underwrite some discounts for students, so they could come. If they pre-registered, they could attend all the sessions, all of the days for $15, and on-site for $25. So, you know, we're trying to reach out to that age group. They're spreading their wings and figuring their own theological and personal lives out and beliefs out. And so, you know, we're trying to make it easier for them to come to Sunstone and enjoy what we do here, get a taste for it. So,
It's hard to know what the hit was because there are other things affecting the attendance. I mean, obviously, it's not as easy for people living and working in Salt Lake on a Thursday or Friday, mm-hmm. you know, to take an hour to go see a session you might have gone to otherwise. But, you know, I guess today is more of the real question. Would people come up on a Saturday when they don't have to work and can't easily just pop over to Third South and Fifth East and see something?
Yeah, but we've been happy with, really pleased with the program, the way it's turned out. Lots of variety, lots of really top-notch sessions that are happening.
And of course, if you're coming from out of town, from Albuquerque, did it matter at all?
No.
All right.
It's an hour longer drive, but that's not.
All right, well, pepper me with, I don't know, any other questions?
Will you be able to advertise to the students at the university for next year's? Because will you be able to advertise while the school is still in session so they can think about that and talk around it? Because it's great to have the student pricing, but. And especially since it's going to be right there, and there's already this established.
We missed an opportunity by not having enough lead time.
There wasn't anything we could do about that. Yeah.
And, you know, we did get word out, but summer enrollment, summer students.
So this year we are, for 2012, we have the theme developed already. We'll focus on Mormons and Mormonism as a political force, and political not just blue, red, independent, but the political dimensions of anything that Mormons are involved with, how they relate to, use, try to influence power dynamics and things like that, social issues. So it'll have. We figured, you know, it's an election year. We've got two horses in the race. You're Mormon. So might as well take the opportunity to focus on that, and we should have the call for papers out probably in a couple of weeks because we have the date set and the theme ready to go. I see no reason to wait until, you know, spring to do a call for papers.
Plus we've got a nice student chapter there.
Yeah, so we can advertise with the student chapter and maybe have events that build toward that all year, and so we can pick up some more student attendees that way.
Well, welcome. You missed Stephen's show and tell with the iPhone and iPad app for the magazine. Are you both familiar with that?
I think I caught the tail end of it with the iPad, at least.
Yes. Droid version coming out shortly, Kindle and other platforms. So, your turn. What what are we not doing that we should, or what are we doing that we should do more of? What should we stop? What should we do less of? Any other thoughts, questions, comments?
Actually, I'm assuming that you and if there's more information just about the student group, actually, like, is there like a Facebook page, for instance? Or, like,
I think there is a Facebook page for the U student group, and Tamara Taysom, who's here today, is the president of the group, and so I can show you who she is and have you talk to her. And there's also a sign up sheet at registration specifically for Sunstone at the U. It's got the black red U in the word Sunstone.
At the registration table?
Yeah, so find that and give us your contact information. We'll get you connected.
And Tamara Taysom's going to be involved with session 352 and 366. Come on in. We're just going to Q&A for the town meeting. Lots of questions, comments, observations. Go ahead.
So, Mary Ellen kind of mentioned a little bit of the Cold War with the church, I guess. Is there anything that can be done to harm those waters?
A few funerals would help, but as far as they're concerned, they would be funerals of us.
Yeah, it hasn't seemed as pronounced to me. I mean, there's still injunctions about BYU professors, and it's not all BYU professors, but some, and it will vary by department, who can't participate here without you know, jeopardizing their employment. But we do have a lot of closet supporters who might be able to participate if they didn't work for the church in some way, shape, or form. We haven't done as much outreach to the church as has happened in the past. I know board members have met with general authorities to talk to them. I'm just glad there haven't been any recent statements about, you know,
symposia.
About symposia. And I actually went to a symposium at BYU, the Sacred Spaces Symposium, and so I'm like, well, if they're going to use that word, then maybe we're all okay.
Yeah, but wasn't an alternate symposium, I guess. Yeah.
Marilyn, you maybe talked about this already, and so if you didn't, just cut me off. You talked about doing some events outside of the symposium on a limited basis, like in the office and things like that, or at the library, places like that. Do you ever see Resurrecting the Brothers Society?
I'm not as familiar with the B.H. Roberts Society and what they did.
That was just a sister thing of Sunstone. Sunstone took care of some of this stuff. It would be a one-line, like quarterly or sometimes semi-annually. Typically up at the University of Utah, where they would take some contemporary topic and they just have two or three people speak on that.
Uh-huh.
And that sounds like
yeah.
It falls in line with some of the things that
yeah.
you've been doing. And I don't know why they got the B.H. Roberts Society, but that is how they present that. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you about was, you had mentioned that you're thinking about rotating symposium between Salt Lake and Ogden.
It's one of the options on the survey.
What about Utah Valley? Do you ever think about going to
UVU
or
something
like that?
I would be willing to. This time, it didn't seem as attractive an option because we were kind of pressed to get
things.
You're
not opposed to the
Utah. I'm not opposed to it. I think Ogden has better public transit and multiple ways to get here, and you know. It seems like I-15 is ripped up every summer between the Point of the Mountain and Provo somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so as far as the ease of people getting there, you know, like you coming in from out of town, it's an hour drive in the other direction.
Meeting north.
But I'm willing to look at what options are there, or maybe teaming up with UVU to do maybe a larger mm-hmm. event. Than either one of us would do on our own.
But logistically, it has more challenges.
Yeah, it does. Just because you can't say hop on the train and come up. So
soon, well, I don't know.
Eventually,
they're
yeah.
by my house.
Yeah. I'm willing to explore, new formats and ways of delivering what Sunstone does best to the people who are around here. And we've talked about ways to also kind of develop Sunstone cells or kind of a do-it-yourself, evening event, fireside, and things like that. And so, we're hoping that maybe we can grow some of those in other places as well.
But what's the reason? I assume that you've talked about the possibility of cutting back the number of days of the symposium, but you've settled on the way it is now. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason why? Would it be less expensive if you had fewer days, but you worry about attendance?
It depends. We've had a lot of good stuff come in on the program, and this year we did streamline. We took out a block of hour sessions in the morning so that we could start later for people who are having to drive to get here. So we have played with the scheduling a little bit, but not, I haven't thought a whole lot about cutting days out.
But 3 days plus the Wednesday workshop isn't a burden in terms of cost and structure.
So it doesn't make any difference cost-wise.
Well, it wouldn't. It's not that doing 3 days means that we are losing money, or that if we cut back, it would be easier to put together or less expensive. But you think in terms of what the economists would say the marginal cost,
right.
The extra cost of doing 3 days as opposed to two, when you're putting it all together in the first place, is so inconsequential that. The advantage of going back to two.
So even rental costs aren't that much.
Typically.
Well,
certainly a place like here, which is about two-thirds less than the Sheraton.
Yeah.
The Sheraton gave us a flat rate
for
7 or 8 years. So they wouldn't care if they cut it down. They still put the same rate, probably.
Yeah. Let me broaden his question. I should first say, my wife says we came 20 years ago, and I don't remember it, so this is my first
welcome!
And that's partly because when they're in July, I have so much going on in Washington, D.C., I can't dare be away, usually. But mine was going to be more, you've obviously been doing this a long time, you've decided what is your core best model, probably, and I'm just wondering how that matches against demographics of the church, of the general population, and other things like different media formats coming in. It's like, this is an aside, but when I go to a symphony, I look around and I say, they're not going to have a symphony much longer because they're all people like my age, that are supporting it. And there's some of that same effect here. And so I just wonder how, had this more informational on my part. I'm not challenging your format because I figured you've figured that out.
Well, and we can't remain static either.
That's part of where I'm going, yeah.
So we're, I guess like most people, slower to embrace change that's forced upon you, but we're doing what we can to reach out. Like the magazine, for example, in terms of the symposium, we're moving to put more of it online, make it accessible and available through not only streaming audio, but video as well. We don't have the kind of internet presence that would be the ideal replication of the symposium for people online, mainly because of the cost and infrastructure that would be required to put that together. But what would your response be?
It's something that we're aware of, especially this past year when we had long-time participants or long-time vendors pass away. We're in that realm, and we're in that season. And one of the things that's been helpful is. As part of doing outreach, I'll go to other conferences especially ones that are here in Utah that I can get to easily, and get to meet and get to know young graduate students who are doing work in religious studies, Mormon history, things like that, where they're the rising generation, they'll be the new scholars, the new Michael Quinns, the new Levina Fielding Andersons, you know, and writing books and batting around some interesting ideas. And so we've had a number of them, you know, come and present papers that they've done during their coursework at the symposium. And that's what I did as a graduate student too. So I like to pitch that. We've got a good relationship with Claremont in California and their Mormon Studies program, because Dan and I both went there before there was a Mormon Studies program. They have an excellent school of religion, and so, you know, you make those relationships, you get to meet those people. You know, I got to meet all kinds of scholars that I've read for years at the symposium. And so, you know, here's an opportunity for people, not necessarily just students, but people to actually meet and sit down and hang out with some of the really significant authors and thinkers in the realm of Mormon studies who have been involved in Sunstone for decades. And in fact, our audio guy, Wade Greenwood, who is basically locked in a room duplicating CDs and editing sessions so that we can have them on site to sell and to sell later. We booked him a room in the dorms, and he said, you know, I was you know, packed up, decided to go back to the dorms and go to sleep, there was D. Michael Quinn and Laurie Winder Stromberg and a whole bunch of other heavy hitters who were staying in the dorms. They were sitting there having
pizza party,
and they called him over and said, "Hey, come join us." And he's like, "I was tired, but I stayed, and we all talked for 2 hours. It was great." And you know, and since he doesn't get to come to any sessions while we're working him like a dog, that was a really exciting thing for him, you know, to be able to interact and have these kinds of conversations. You know, sit down with Mike Quinn and pick his brain on Mormon history topics. You know, it's a great opportunity. So we have to get more people involved in that conversation.
The 20 and 30-somethings, even some 40-somethings, do have real life, you know, honest-to-goodness online communities. They've been able to create them through their blogs and through their other social media. And, you know, those online communities are very much real and vibrant and healthy, and they experience them like communities. At the same time, though, many of them will come to the symposium precisely because they can do the kind of thing that Mary Ellen just described. They can hang out, they can you know, go to dinner or lunch together, and they have been doing that for a while now and very much appreciate the chance, the opportunity, the excuse, really, that motivates them to make that trip. So, you know, we're evolving and we're doing as best we can to pay attention to what's needed and respond and adapt and change in ways that will allow us to help and foster the mission.
And we had one thing happen here during the lunch break that, I don't know, might bring in a few more Sunstone folks. We got a baby blessing during the lunch break downstairs. So maybe we'll get even younger Sunstoners to participate.
Sunstone
6 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, he hasn't been blessed here, though, has he?
He's
been blessed by.
Was it just a ceremony, or was it an official thing on the church kind of blessing?
No.
He was blessed by the famous Mormon.
So, are you thinking? I know something that would appeal to me is I love these symposia. You know, to me, it's energizing and not in the church. But I would love to go hear a speaker once a month, wherever. I think that would be a nice way to kind of look even in the interview. Is that something?
How could we let you and folks like you know that we're doing those things? Because it's easy enough for us to put them together, but we've been kind of hit and miss in terms of how we get those announcements out.
Email. I'm not as good on Facebook, but I follow Facebook a little bit.
Okay.
Can you push it through your app?
I don't know, can we?
The app is mostly meant to deliver magazines. If we push out stuff that's free, then we pay money for it instead of get money for it. But yeah, the app is meant to push out magazines, and that's what it's designed.
Could you put an ad on a page of a magazine that says,
sure,
we are doing these regularly, here's the Facebook, here's the email to sign up, here's stuff like that?
That's one of the things where we don't have the infrastructure that some nonprofits do. Like, I subscribe to the Utah Pride Center's newsletter. They're two doors down from us, from our office. And, you know, there's a big industry in selling, these email packages, these newsletters, constant contact, how nonprofits can, push out all kinds of information to their constituents on a really regular and highly automated basis. And we haven't looked as closely into investing in a program like that. But one of the things that I am looking at is a free service called Eventbrite that handles registration for events. You have a website, it takes you there, all the information is there with details that we populate for our particular events, and then people can register online, we can send emails to presenters reminding them, here you need to register, here's where this part of the event is. So I'm going to give that a trial run for the Northwest Symposium in the fall. And in the meantime, we have been doing a lot more on Facebook. Not as much via email necessarily, because people's emails tend to change a lot and they don't often tell us what they are. So we have a lot of dud emails in our database. But if that's the best way to get a hold of people and let folks know, or add people who want to attend events to a Google group for Sunstone events, we can do that a little easier.
Well, I know there's a thing that I subscribe to, and I always appreciate the emails. I was looking for it just now, the big Mormon events calendar, and they talk about
MormonConferences.org.
Is it here? We were, isn't it? Yeah, where is that?
I don't know.
I think it is.
It's also a possibility of, of thinking about partnering with people like Benchmark for when they do an author autograph. Because they're pretty good, when they do that. They don't do it very often, but and usually the authors are always Sunstone related in some way.
But
he's always fall 5,000 years. he'd have to get an extra venue or something.
I bet Kurt would be okay with that.
There
were enough people who wanted to buy books.
That might be a good partnership, because we're the nonprofit. We can book space at the Salt Lake Library for free, and handle sales maybe just outside the library doors. that's a possibility. We could get the larger free space to meet in, and we do a lot of partnering.
You're probably paying for
Do you have an RSS feed?
I don't know. I think our blog does on the website, but we don't have enough new stuff on the blog for it to really be something that people subscribe. There's just not a lot going on there.
Just be a way to, push out, these library sessions and whatnot. You know, you could have different blogs, you know, subscribe to that RSS feed. Mm-hmm. So you've got your message out all over the internet.
We've developed a fairly active Facebook presence, haven't we? Would that be fair to say, Stephen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This past year. So some of these others, now that we got our feet wet in those few, could build on that and do some of these as well. So those are good suggestions. Well, see, that's the thing, Rick. If you're in town, we can always use good volunteers to help us pull this stuff off.
We get a student intern, or just have a space there for an intern who would just come and regularly update blog stuff. They could even do it, you know, they don't have to do it from the office. But
what about guest blogging?
Yeah.
You know, where you repurpose something that's already been posted at Rick's blog. You merely link to it. You can say, hey, this is an article. I do this stuff for a living, so.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, it's one of the things that I do. So
well, we welcome volunteers as well, Daryl.
No, I was just, what I'm trying to say is, though, that you could get a blog entry that, say, Rick wrote, and then give your opinion on it, and then link to it. And that's a blog post. You know, you can do something that simple and keep everything fresh and relevant.
Yeah. I mean, as far as your website,
what should we do differently?
For one thing, like when I want to search for an article, like an old
search function is
search
really
is
hard.
Terrible.
Yeah. Search is hard.
It's not really very visually appealing. There's nothing that draws that says, hey, stay here and look at what I've got here.
We need more of a Roach Motel approach. Right?
Yeah.
So, draw people in and get them clicking.
Yeah.
Hotel California. Roaches are kind of gross. Yeah. Yeah. You check in, you never leave.
That works too. Hotel California.
And I swear that, because I was looking, did you guys have a different domain before? Because I thought it was Sunstone Online.
We did.
Sunstone
yeah.
Magazine.
Yeah, it's changed. Like,
yeah. So,
I appreciate you bringing that up, Rick, because that's something I'm going to pitch to the board tomorrow.
Yeah, our
constituents
say.
I would say the website
say,
is a good revamp on that. So.
Yeah, I realized that when I was trying to walk somebody through how to do a search and narrow some of the parameters, that even the instructions that I had gotten from our web designer, what's on the web page now is a different iteration, and those instructions that I had and that I was looking at weren't working. It's like, oh wait, there's no option like that.
Well, and I will tell you, the company I work for, we're currently redesigning our website, and so we don't want to spend money just like a lot of people.
What, you mean it's not free on the internet?
But so we hired a kind of a web designer, and one of the functions that we wanted, we do a lot of medical research, and so our HR person gets all these requests, but I'd like to find out about this brain injury study or this spinal cord study or whatever. And so she has to go look for them, and she says, I want to just put PDFs out on the blog or on the website and then have people be able to search them themselves. And so in working with our programmer, she asked me if we had PHP, and I didn't know, so I called our website, and I said we did. And then she said, we decided that doesn't look very good, so we're going to go with Google search. And I don't know if Google will give you, but I will tell you, Google is the best search ever. And I don't believe it's free, but maybe for a nonprofit it would be, or inexpensive, but I would recommend that, especially to do searching for your old magazine. That would be extremely useful, and I think it would draw people. I've done searches before, and actually I think it was on the old website, the old domain, and I couldn't find it.
And one thing too, I'm thinking about connecting with the bloggers and stuff. If you can find something on Sunstone that's a research article that's footnoted or something that somebody's
well,
been worked with,
blogged about,
and you can just pop that link into a comment.
Your melee theory from a long time ago. That's one of my most popular posts. I have a link to, well, I don't know if it works anymore. I haven't checked it. I have a link to the old one anyway, so.
Yeah, I think that would be useful to explore what's out there now that we can use. Because, you know, the website, this last iteration is a few years old, and
it's a big improvement from what was there
originally.
Yeah, we'll be
but
able
it needs
to.
Yeah.
The one doesn't look that much more inviting to me, so.
Yeah.
You give me good leverage to keep it up.
Please.
I have a question for Stephen. Stephen, are you looking for the magazine, the print magazine? Are you looking for specific kinds of articles and not so much other kinds of articles?
Well, I'm on a premier.
Perfect accepted articles.
It's a pain in the butt.
So are there things that you are looking to emphasize because you feel that, you know, that these fit better with what Sunstone is doing and wants to do, as opposed to other kinds of articles that maybe other players are more appropriate for other places? Do you want to steer Sunstone in a particular direction, or are you just as open to anything and it doesn't matter as long as it's good?
My first criteria is certainly quality. That's a really banal thing to say. Yeah, I don't want to be good. For me...
But you don't go through your... When something comes in, you don't think, you know, this would probably be better for the Journal of Mormon History. Or this would be better for dialogue.
I'm
going to encourage the author to go there as opposed to Sunstone,
okay,
because we've got limited... And I really want to emphasize this kind of stuff.
Yeah. The thing that I think Sunstone Magazine is supposed to do, since it's a magazine, is to be able to get good thought into a form where people can consume it, like people with a college education can consume it and be able to integrate it into their thought more easily than, say, if you were reading it from a more academic sphere. So when I receive things, the thing that I look for is, if it's way academic, is there a way that I could mold this into something that would be easily transmissible into the average college educated person's brain? So you're right. When I get things like that are heavily footnoted or heavily academic, then I will tend to say, would this work for the average college educated person, or could I mold it? Would the author be willing to work with me to mold it into something like that? And so often someone will say, well, I've got this for and I'm thinking about putting it into another journal, and I say, that's great. Let's make this into something into, I don't know, I don't want to say Reader's Digest, because what I hope to do as an editor isn't to make things easier, but to make things muscular and accessible, so that when you're watching, when you're reading it, all of the things that are really important, the real turning points, are there and easily
Are you looking for particular content, particular themes, particular directions?
Oh, you mean some upcoming things? I'm hoping to have some upcoming things on mental health, and I want to do one on motherhood, and I want to do another one that I was going to do.
Passive aggression.
Maybe I'll do something on that. But... So yeah, that's. I don't know.
And you're also interested in visual stuff too, right? I mean, more than.
Oh, certainly, yeah. That's actually one of the things that I like best about Sunstone, and especially the app, because Sunstone does say Mormon experience, scholarship, issues, and art, and that's actually one of the things that I've really been enjoying doing is bringing the art into the picture to.
So, for example, last night Artist gave us this great speech, and this art started to come into my head. Now, Artist is going to put her speech up on her blog, and it will be a blog post. What I'm going to do is make it into a whole artifact. It's going to be something where the themes and the words and the art all work together into a complete whole. It's kind of like what you guys do with Signature. You make these absolutely gorgeous books that are so beautifully bound, so beautifully designed, so beautifully typed, and with this gorgeous fonts and stuff like that. I essentially want some kind of deal out of it. I still don't feel like I answered your question.
No, because I'm just wondering, the decisions that you make are affected by your own personal interests, the interests that you perceive out there, but then also by these other periodicals too, so I'm just kind of, you know, trying to...
Yeah, and you've probably noticed that I like to focus on popular culture a little bit more than it has been previously, and that's something that I do like, is sort of the more reverberant aspects of pop culture, so it's not just, oh my gosh, Stephanie, what's her name, put out a new book. Yet, if we actually dive into one of Stephanie's books, what kind of, you know, Mormon resonances would we find? What are they doing? So yeah, you're right. There's more of a pop culture aspect to it. And more about what's the current state of Mormonism type thing. But also, doing one on Ernest Wilkinson. It's going to be cool. And I've got some art in the pipeline for it. It's going to be great.
Thank you all for coming. Thank you for your suggestions. And if you have other things you want to share with us, look us up and pull us aside.